I don't know exactly who this audio is for. I don't know who will hear this. But I know that I'm led to speak these words. And I know that these words will reach whomever they are intended to reach and activate whomever they are intended to activate. I believe these words that are being spoken will be heard by a few, and those few will inflame the world. These words are true. These words are absolutely true. Because these words are not spoken by any mortal man. Let's analyze what it means to be a mortal man. A mortal is someone that dies . Immortal is someone who doesn't die. Every thought form and every idea, every way this word is spoken, even the language that this is spoken in, will die. The instrument being used to speak will die. The surroundings of this current existence will die. The planet that this instrument walks on will die. It will fade. But the essential truth of this place, the principles by which this thing is built, will never die. Because the only way this can be sustained is if there was something substantial. The only way this can be is if there was someone or something substantial supporting it. So, I don't care so much of the instrument that is being used, but it definitely is appreciated and to be admired, like a flower that blooms for a while and then dies. But a mortal man believes that he has to become more, not realizing that what he considers to be more will soon be no more. Anything that dies should not be honored as sacred. But that which supports its existence should be honored as sacred. So that which is within it, shining out, should be seen as sacred, but nothing else. From the mortal's mouth should come the humility of, I of myself can do nothing. I of myself can do nothing. And for an ego that is very threatening, for an ego or an individual that seems fatalistic, that seems an admittance of impotency, when, in fact, It is the only thing that allows the life to shine through. The one true life is shining through all things in its varying degrees. Our physical bodies are superior instruments to what we can currently see. But there will be superior bodies to these that will be the vehicle of greater and greater expression later on. Not sure exactly how, but it was said to be men who stood 30 feet tall in Egypt. They were known as gods, even though they were expressing the self-same power that they were. They had brains and hearts that were larger and capable of electromagnetic impulses that superseded those of the average man. And even though that instrument was built for greater expression, if those giants did not recognize the infinite power that flowed through them, that was infinitely greater than them, they would never have been able to activate true power. So the only profession that can be made of power is I of myself can do nothing. And the reason this is true is because the I we refer to is a constraint. The constraint or the channel by which something moves is not the power itself. But it is honored because it is a vehicle or channel for that greater power. But we have to recognize and distinguish the vessel from the source of power itself. Your body is a vessel, a vehicle that will die. Everything you see around you is an environment that is reflective of the dominating conscious state of this planet. When the dominating conscious expression of this planet shifts and elevates, then the environment of this planet will shift and elevate. Like I said before, I don't know who will hear this. But the greatest profession you can make is I of myself can do nothing. What can you do? What can you do that isn't done through you? There's nothing you can do that is not done through you. And since you recognize that it's being done through you, through the mind, through your particular point of expression, you must give reverence and worship to the power that is. If you look out in nature and look at the trees, you can become observant of an infinite power flowing through the trees in its particular way. If you observe the water, even though it sits still in a pond, you can sense the life that sustains this fluid water. It's more noticeable when the water moves because it looks alive. you realize the cycles of water evaporating into the clouds being carried to higher heights, and then raining on those higher heights, and then the water streaming down, 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 back from whence it came. We can see these cycles and realize that water itself could never do these cycles. But there is a greater power behind it that is its cycles. And that water is just an outgrowth of that already power. Man is unique because man can organize his mind in a particular way. And by organizing his mind in a particular way, he can differentiate the expression of this infinite power into whatever mode he can imagine and believe in. So the only limitation of expression through man is his own imagination and belief, or thought and belief. So a man's thoughts that he believes in are simply vehicles for God to show himself. And they will show him, he will show himself in a mathematical exactness to man's thoughts and beliefs, because that is the medium by which it flows through. A man's thoughts and beliefs are shown in man's body, through man's body and behaviors. But you can't see all the power working through him because his power is invisible. The portion you see of him is the little mask called his body, which is just an instrument that was born under the zodiac or the powers of nature. Nature produced another miraculous physical phenomena, and it happens to be an immense conduit for God. But it isn't God itself. The imagination is miraculous in its capability to reform itself into any desired shape, thus giving man the power to reshape his life circumstances in the way he desires. His first profession must be, though, that I of myself can do nothing. The second statement the Bible says is, or that Jesus says in the Bible, is, it is my Father within me that doeth the works. Now, the Father he refers to is the source, because a Father is simply a source. So, the source of all things does all things. If we look around, we know that's obvious. There is one life that moves all life. There couldn't be multiple lives. There could be differentiations of the one life, but there cannot be multiple lives. And it's not a life, like it's constrained by the physical body. It may be a cycle, but it is not a life. You don't have a life. Life is displaying itself in the body in a particular way, and will do so for whatever particular time period is believed by that particular mind. If the mind disidentifies with the body and recognizes itself to be not the body, but the eternal imagination or the eternal mind, then when does it die? The answer is obviously it doesn't die. Because how can something die that simply is and always was? It would be impossible. Now, within a realm of time and space, we see a temporary performance of word or thought. We see the dance of thought. We see the dance of mind. We see the dance of the universal subconscious mind in all of nature. We see the dance of the particular mind in all the particular forms in the world, like houses and institutions of education, cars, technology. These are all expressions that always existed. It required man, which is imagination, to commit itself to a particular line of understanding in this physical world, of particular forms, and acquaint itself with a particular line of work or a particular ideology or something that they can study here, so they can study the movements physically of God. And if he pays close enough attention, he'll see the same pattern throughout all that exists. And that pattern is the God pattern. Some people call it the Fibonacci sequence or the golden ratio. So we see a mathematical certainty in the universe. As we see a mathematical certainty in the universe, we also see a creative force. A varied force. Infinite variations or colors. Not just colors of, or shades of color, but shades of life. Different configurations or vibrations that this one life flows through. Man just happens to be unlimited in his capability to configure itself, himself, into whatever he desires to configure himself. I don't know who is designed to hear this, but these words will be spoken many, many, many times in every generation. These words are everlasting because they are absolute. Even if a man does not hear these words I speak on this particular day, the word I speak is not English. It's not confined by the limited, clumsy words that we use in what we call language. I speak of the eternal expression of God, which is man. And man is imagination, which can configure itself in any particular way to express all or any particular aspect of God, including healing or immortality, or love, or intelligence, or togetherness.